Welcome, campers, to Camp Divination. We are your hosts. I'm Ryan.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm Carly.
This week we're tackling the Cash Landrum incident.
Yeah.
Finally some UFOs for Carly.
UFOs! Let me get my Mulder and Scully on, okay? I'm thrilled.
I'm surrounded by UFO enthusiasts.
Maybe you should convert.
I don't actually know all that much about it. It's just UFOs are directly tied to my deep love of the X-Files. So, like, anytime UFO news pops up on TikTok, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. I don't even care if it's real or not real. I just want to hear it.
You know, when that shit jumped off at the mall in Miami months ago, like, you messaged me immediately.
I did.
And you're like, have you seen this? Have you seen this?
Yeah. TikTok just knows. Like, I source literally all of my news from TikTok at this point. I let TikTok show me because people on there are talking about things that aren't in the news. And then I go off on my own and I do my little searches and I read articles. But, oh, yeah. That one was awesome. It's just the videos of that one. I don't even care if that's faked or not. It was cool as shit to imagine a doomsday scenario where giant aliens are coming down and stomping on humans in a mall. Like, you know,
yeah.
I'm here for the storyline. Do I want it to happen to me? No. Preferably, I'd like to be super far away from that, but I'll read the headlines. I'll read the shit out of those headlines.
It would make for a good enough movie.
See?
It would.
Yeah. It would be better than any of the movies that we have coming out currently. So
it's like kind of a take on Cloverfield, maybe.
Yeah.
I can something get like that. Something like found footage style with like a group of people running around the mall, running from aliens.
That would be so cool. Blair Witch, but make it aliens. And maybe slightly less shaky because that makes me nauseous.
But that's what makes it seem real.
It is.
If you have like completely stabilized videos, they're running through the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's unbelievable
like that.
Yeah, see Blair Witch 2.
Well, that one was an actual movie.
And I know, then, but the sections that were... Because didn't it intercut sections that were found footage?
No, that one was like an actual sequel. Like, it wasn't really a sequel. It was like an actual like movie. And then they did the 2019 actual sequel to the Blair Witch, which is where... they go and try to actually find... I forget who it is. Doesn't matter, but... Like, they're actually following up on the original one.
Case.
And it is all found footage and all that, too.
I thought
which was actually really good.
Because I thought Blair Witch 2 had... Because I knew it was, like, a movie.
Yeah.
Because I remember them, like, doing that ridiculous shit with the one girl's eyes, where, like... Because all the colors were kind of muted in the movie, but they made her eyes, like... 10 times brighter blue than they should have been.
Yeah, it was. The movie was just weird. Book of Shadows, that's what it was called.
Yep. Yeah, they did weird shit. But
I
thought
it intercut. I don't
know if I've
seen that one.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's kind of lame.
But I thought they had blocked it. I thought they had bits of found footage style shots like intercut in the movie.
They might have. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time. Like,
yeah.
But I did like the actual sequel that they made. I actually just rewatched that recently.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
It's well worth a watch.
Yeah. Yeah, so found footage alien movie would be sick.
That
would be super
Area 51 is my favorite alien movie of all time. And it is all found footage as well.
Yeah.
And that's the one where they actually sneak into Area 51 and... They go down below, and then there's the aliens, and...
I think I saw that
one. It's absolutely fantastic. Like, there's been no other alien movie that's ever been better than that for me.
It got genuinely scary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, no, it's actually... It's actually frightening.
Yeah, it's... I think it was... It's nice because you don't see a lot of alien horror. You see, usually when aliens are introduced, they go more of a sci-fi
bend.
Or even a lot of them get into procedural shit where you're like watching government officials walk around and talk to each other for half the movie.
I mean, like,
I don't know if I've seen that. I'm gonna have to look it up now because
yeah, you'll love it.
A, how have I not seen it? B,
yeah.
Ooh, I need to rectify this situation immediately.
I'm pretty sure I actually suggested it to you at one point.
I think you did. I think I remember. I'm pretty sure I remember this. I must have looked it up. I don't know. Fun fact, sometimes I have memory loss.
I don't know if it's available anywhere for streaming anymore. But you can buy it on like Vudu or Apple TV, whatever, super cheap.
I think it used to be on Prime.
I think it was on Prime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then another decent one was the Phoenix Lights one. What was it called? It was like the Phoenix Tapes, or I can't remember specifically. Yep. But that one was actually really good too. And of course, another found footage and had elements of horror to it. And
yeah, you know, but Area 51 is like a straight up horror film. It's like it gets scary as fuck when they're like actually like exploring the depths of Area 51, and there's like genuine horror lighting and music, and it's a horror movie. Which is nice.
So good, though. I can rewatch it all the time.
Yeah.
It's just... because it's so smart, too. Like, them, like, plotting out, breaking into, you know, the base and everything.
Yeah.
So smart. Like, you would think it could work.
Yeah. That's the magic of good movie making, right? Is it makes you feel like, this could be
real.
Maybe
I could do this, like, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's like that's the success of all those heist movies, right? Is it like
I guess
it's
you're right.
It's so intricate and well thought out within the realms of the movie that you're like, that could work.
It's
that
because everything always just works out perfectly.
Yeah.
Life is not like that.
No.
Like there's no way, you know, like they get away at just the right time or get in there at just the right time and yeah, this works and that works and whatever else. Like, no, it's just not like that.
I mean, those movies rely on a heavy dose of Deus Ex Machina, right? Like, things have to line up perfectly. And there's a lot of those incidences where it's like, well, if only we could get past this, whatever this security measure, and their hacker person is like, well, I just need to hit 14 keys on my computer. And right. Then we'll be past it. No explanation.
That's also not real.
Yeah, definitely not.
But anyhow, the Cash Landrum incident.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Why don't, just in case our listeners haven't listened to the episode yet, let's do a quick rundown and see if we can get right to it.
Yeah. We'll summarize it. Also, you can go to the podcast episode right under this podcast episode and learn all about it, if you'd like.
Episode 137?
Yep.
There you go.
All right, the Cash Landrum incident occurred in 1980 in Huffman, Texas. That's right. I think Huffman is a suburb of Houston now. It was a small town outside Houston, but I think it's been swallowed by Houston at this point.
I too lived in a small suburb outside of Houston that has now been swallowed by I went to high school in a suburb of Houston called Cypress, Texas. Texas, the Sapphire Bobcats.
Where is your Texas accent, Carly?
I don't have one. I have a Mormon accent.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
No, I don't know. I just sound like this. No, actually,
it's just my voice.
Joy and I have had this conversation. That's just my voice. No, Joy and I have had this conversation several times. Because down where I live now, there is like a regional dialect. It's like we call this area the Valley. It's the Rio Grande Valley, and they have a Valley accent here that's different than just a plain Hispanic accent, and different. It's like it's its own distinct accent. And I used to have a touch of that because I grew up down here. But Joy and I have had this conversation that both of our parents emphasized proper pronunciation of things. So every once in a while, the southern twang will like leak out, especially if I'm talking to someone else that has a heavy southern accent, but for the most part it just doesn't exist.
We should just do this whole episode all with southern accents.
I can do my best southern accent if it's a man. I don't know why. It just that's where it goes to.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you watch a lot of Walker Texas Ranger growing up? Because that's
Walker,
sort of what that
Texas
sounded like.
Walker Texas Ranger and Hank yeah. the Cow Dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
People struggle to understand where my wife is from because she grew up obsessed with like pronouncing everything perfectly, and now it like some of the over pronunciation has stuck, and. We get people asking her if she's Canadian, like asking if, because there are some words that she like pronounces bizarrely, and I'm convinced at this point, after almost 20 years, that it really is not on purpose.
I get asked if I'm like, from Canada a lot.
Yeah. Yep. My wife says Indiana.
Indiana. So she's almost transatlantic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's odd. It's
I worked
odd.
On the transatlantic accent for a while. I can't do it anymore because I'm rusty, but for a little while I could break into transatlantic speech. Yeah. that was fun. Yeah. Okay, small suburb outside of Houston that now has been swallowed by Houston.
1980 in Huffman, Texas. Okay, so it involved three people. It was Betty Cash, Vicky Landrum, and Vicky's grandson, Colby. They were driving, they saw a bright light, eventually the bright light gets closer, and they encounter a diamond-shaped object hovering above the road, and it's emitting this intense heat and light. They described it almost like thrusters, where it would start to sink down closer to the road, and then flames would shoot out of the bottom of the diamond, and it would lift back up a few feet, and then the flames would cut off. And it would drift back down, and then the flames again, almost to like keep it up in the air. And it happened to be accompanied by, what was it, 32? They counted 32 military helicopters.
So 32? What? I think it was like 18.
That's excessive.
It was a bunch. It was a bunch of military helicopters.
I've never seen that many military helicopters all at once. And keep in mind, I've lived very close to several military bases where they would run Black Hawk trainings. Yeah. So that is wild.
I may be slightly off. It's a lot of helicopters.
I don't care.
It is a lot.
It's
enough to completely surround it.
I feel like anything more than one or two.
23.
We had them reversed. That's. Yep, yep. I mean, I have dyslexia for numbers. I can't remember what that's called right now. So you could tell me either one, and I'd be fine with it. Either way, an excessive amount of helicopters.
Yeah, 23 helicopters.
That is wild. Okay.
Yeah. After the encounter, they all suffered symptoms that were at the time related to acute radiation sickness. Eventually, Betty Cash's health deteriorates. She died of lung cancer eventually in 1998. But she had respiratory issues for the rest of her life. And the incident led to investigations by the military and by citizens. And a lawsuit where the two women, Cash and Landrum, actually tried to sue the Air Force, basically the government, for what was it, $4 million, something like that.
$20 million.
And $20 million. In the lawsuit, they sort of dropped the idea that it was extraterrestrial, and they were pursuing the money as if that they had stumbled upon some sort of military test and it had made them sick being near it. But they had no real evidence that they could present, and the suit got dropped.
Oh.
So basically that's the extent of the case. They stumble upon this crazy craft, and then they got super sick. I mean, Betty Cash spent weeks in the hospital with like her hair falling out, losing patches of skin. Like it got, it was really bad. Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me that her teeth fell out for a second and I was about full stop. No. Teeth. I hate teeth things. So was it in the sky or was it on the ground? I think I missed that part.
It was hovering right above the road.
Okay. Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. Like, okay. Okay. So they would have been close enough that the radiation would have affected them that much. Okay.
Now, the guy who wrote a book about it did come out and point out the fact that the speed of onset with their symptoms really would only line up with like intense exposure to radiation, which at the level that it would have killed them like pretty quickly. So his thing was that it made more sense that they were exposed to some kind of chemical, not radiation. So they're not really sure if it was actual radiation exposure, if maybe they were exposed to some kind of like aerosolized chemical that, you know, caused these intense symptoms to come on quickly, but their body was actually able to process the chemicals slowly over time. And they were, you know, because they all lived for decades after. Okay. Well,
So I actually don't know that much about radiation poisoning. Does it like, are you just like, you get sick and you die? Or is it like, can you recover from radiation?
Well, if it's heavy dose radiation, then you get symptoms really quickly and you die really quickly. If it's low dose radiation, then you get the symptoms with a much slower onset, and you can usually process the radiation and survive.
Okay.
So that's what he was saying, was like, it's one of one and one of the other.
Okay.
So they got really fast symptoms, but their body also processed it and they survived. So he said it didn't sound like radiation. It sounded like chemical poisoning, basically.
Okay. Hence suing the Air Force.
Right. Yeah. I just love that two women in Texas in 1980 had, like, the guts and gusto to be like, yeah, we're going to take on the entire U.S. military in court.
Listen, well, why not? I saw a TikTok literally today about how Southern women are bred differently. Their hair was so fucking big with so much hairspray, they could survive literally anything. Bring on the Air Force.
Right. Imagine two 50-year-old women in 1980 Texas, how big their hair must have been.
They probably had jean jackets and the brightest of bright pink lipstick with their hair, what's that word, teased and just big as shit. Yeah. Yeah,
those hair helmets.
I'm thriving for this mental image, by the way. Like, good for them. Of course they should sue the government.
If I would have been in the 80s at that time, that would have been really hot.
Right? Yeah. I would have been into that.
Oh, without a doubt.
Big hair, you know? It's a vibe.
Oh, man. I was just watching this documentary about the Way Down cult.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of them? Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
That woman who ran that cult had the biggest hair I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was wild. Like, it looked cartoonish. Because their whole thing was about, like, being thin to be closer to God. So, like, she literally looked like a Bratz doll.
Oh, no.
Like, she had this gigantic hair, so it made her head look huge, and she weighed, like, 95 pounds.
That's upsetting. That's wildly upsetting. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yeah. Have some fucking Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Yeah. So that's basically what happened. It's
okay.
The case is, people usually cite it in regards to like the effect of UFO encounters physically on the contactees. And it became this famous case because not only did it go to court, but like people cite the health implications, like the health problems that the women had afterward, as it like sets it apart from most UFO encounters.
I am very interested in this for two reasons. Number one, I added the S on late. Sorry about that. Yeah, two reasons. My brain was thinking like five steps ahead and my mouth could not keep up, ADHD style. Two reasons. Number one, historically speaking and still today, women have a hard time having their physical symptoms believed and taken seriously. So that's important because they got a whole bunch of people to sit up and take notice of what they were going through. And the other aspect of it is that recently I've been researching the physical side effects, not the mental side effects, but the physical side effects of having a condition like PTSD. And I don't think that I've heard any other UFO cases. I mean, full disclosure, I'm not super familiar. I just find it exciting when it happens across me. But I don't think that I've come across too many others that focus on the physical symptoms. So I am very excited. So line up your questions and let's go. If I had sleeves on, I would roll them up for emphasis. But
and we did talk in the episode about how some of these physical symptoms could have been manifestations of the actual trauma that they went through, right?
Yeah, trauma leads to, actually, it is very hard to distinguish. So what I've been doing is I've been trying to track my physical symptoms when they appear, because if you've gone through trauma, your symptoms line up very closely to autoimmune diseases, and it is very hard to tell the difference if you have an autoimmune disease, if you are having a trauma response. But there has been more research recently connecting the dots between physical pain and traumatic experiences. So for me, I have the last couple of times that I had a large trigger, I had full body joint pain to the extent that I was fully bedridden for like a couple of days, which that is what led to my initial Instagram break, is I was in so much pain that I was like, nope, not even Instagram can get me out of bed today. So I started researching, and there actually is a very real connection between trauma and physical pain experienced within the body. So boom, I'm basically made for this episode is what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's a good baseline to start from.
Yeah.
I feel like Ryan and I both have the same first question, which is, what the fuck was it that they saw in the road? So, like, let's just cut to the chase. What was
it? I'm gonna phrase it as my favorite question, real or not real. And I'll go based, well, I'll do two piles, one for real, one for not real, and we'll just see which one seems more likely.
Can you, before you get into the cards for that question, can you outline what does real mean to you?
Oh, so this is an exercise that I do. I actually, ironically, mostly do this for PTSD brain, or if I've experienced gaslighting recently. It is a distinction between reality, what is actually happening in the situation, that is real, and not real is the perceptions around it. So real or not real, I think that would make more sense than what was actually happening, because that's a broad net.
Sure.
So, and I don't have any cards that specifically say alien. So
why not?
I do have one deck that has one alien card, and I have that
the dildos, the
cosmic sea. Yeah, the Cosmic See You Next Tuesday deck, but neither of those decks are suited for this, I don't think. Okay, so real, not real. But since my brain already works with this setup, ooh, interesting. Were they like, okay, so it was a grandmother and grandson. Was the other woman also related?
Yeah, no, they were best friends. And then it was Betty and Vicky were best friends, and then they had Vicky's grandson, Colby, in the car with them.
Okay, so for the real section, we have the bats, which is a family unit, traditionally. Interestingly, we have the mourning brooch. So my guess is that the emotional side effect of this was pretty heavy on them. because the mourning brooch is heavy sadness. That is processing a large life event. And then we have the Hand of Glory, which is sneaky fuckery. And then the spider web, which is everything being connected. Or it's like, the spider web means a lot of things, but in this case, it is literally weaving the strands together, right? So yeah. That right there would make me think that they were determined to stick together. They were working through what happened to them. Was there any type of cover-up attempted? Do we know this? With the sneaky fuckery? Okay. So after that, I feel like these cards to me say like, hey, we're not going to fucking fall for that. This is what happened leading to the court case. So the not real side is subconscious beliefs. And specifically for this one, I'm thinking more along the lines of people questioning their experience or like, are you sure that you remembered this correctly? We have the nettle, which is normally a card that I associate with folk magic protection. The moth, which is a messenger from the dead, and the scale, which is a balance. So I'm leaning towards real, but I think that the not real side is explaining that from my understanding of these cards, it sounds to me like whoever is communicating with me is saying that someone worked very hard to try to convince them that they didn't experience what they experienced. The balance card, or sorry, the scale card has a brain on a scale. And that one to me is very similar to temperance in the tarot in terms of like maintaining your balance. But I also feel like some element of questioning, almost like gaslighting, questioning their memories, questioning their sanity or their lived experience within this. So on these cards, I am leaning towards real.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense though, because another of the main reasons why people cite this case is because of the way the government responded to this event. And like a lot of people talk about it being a pretty extensive cover up, whether they were covering up aliens or they were covering up an experiment, a government experiment, or some classified craft, something like that. Like most people are pretty convinced that it was covered up, intentionally covered up.
Okay.
Especially because of the lawsuit. Because when the lawsuit came out, they shut that shit down immediately, pretty much.
Nay, we're not talking about this. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah. So that's my official reel.
Cool.
Okay. So you've determined that what they saw, whatever it was actually there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, whether or not we want to narrow it down to like, was this a UFO? Was this a government experiment? I don't know, but they saw and experienced something very real. They had real significant emotions to process from it. And the powers that be worked very hard to convince them that they didn't see what they saw.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of gaslighting, so fuck you very much.
Yeah, when I posted it for this episode, I used the hashtag, I know what I saw.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know, Ryan, you want to know if it was aliens or if it was a military craft?
I
kind of want
to know if it was an actual UFO.
Okay. Yeah. I am on it. Was it an actual UFO?
Because I think it was. But at the same time, I can still get behind the military experiment or some, you know, unknown craft that they had been working on or something like that.
Yeah, because like I pointed out in the episode, this is 1980, so this is the tail end of the Cold War. The government was still very into hiding pretty much every development they made along the way. Yeah, pretty much all world governments were, at this point, hiding everything that they were working on.
Well, the exciting news is we have the ghost card. So we started with the moth, and now we have the ghost. So apparently the spirits are picking up on what we're doing here. And we have... Are these people still alive? Because someone connected to this. Okay. Nope. Well, one of them is definitely like, hey.
Yeah.
I have come.
That's what she said.
The grandson is still alive. the grandson is still alive. They never actually gave his last name for anonymity. Yeah. You know,
that's he was a smart. Kid. Good for them.
Yeah. So there's he's stayed off the radar. I assume he's still alive. He was like what 9 years old in 1980. So he'd be
in his 40s,
early 50s, maybe late 40s.
Yeah, late 40s, early 50s.
From what I've seen, his last name was also Landrum.
I think people just fill that in.
I mean that's probably true.
But you know, I mean, you never know, I guess.
Yeah.
I always like mix up their first and last names. Betty Cash died in 1998 of lung cancer, and Vicky Landrum died in 2004. I want to say, I think it was early 2000s. Not of cancer, I don't think. Although she did battle breast cancer twice in her life.
Damn.
But I mean, she was already in her 50s at the time and lived like 30 more years.
Yeah. Yeah. She lived a long life. But yeah, both the women have passed at this point.
Okay. So I think that this answer is from one of the women and not whoever normally answers my cards. Because this group of cards makes more sense with one of the two adult women than a direct answer. So we may have to rephrase and ask again. But I'm going to go through what I have here because it does make sense. It's just I'm focused on the question, so I need to just pause. Push the mental pause button on the question. So the answers are, we have the painting, which is, it's a happy, abundant life, but it also indicates a family once again. So like all of them combined, whoever this is viewing them as what they experienced. This made them a tighter knit family, right? Then we have a card that means it's ritual work to direct your energy in a specific place or to dig deeper. So don't know how to take that card. So put a pin in that one. We can circle back around and I can ask to explain that one. So I'll leave that one out while I put the other ones away. But then that we have the cross, which is again feeling heavily burdened. So the emotional impact of what they experienced, followed by coins. Obviously, they sued for a significant amount of money. We have the ghost card, which is when it's like, hi, it's me. I'm not answering your question, but here's this information. The pot also means abundance and the crossroads. And to me, this group of cards, like, she is not answering the question about the UFO. She just dove straight in. And to me, this is painting a picture of I'm kind of imagining them like sitting around a table talking about their options and deciding to move ahead with a lawsuit based on what they were going through, I think. So I went ahead and I pulled from a separate deck and I asked the exact same question. Was this a UFO? And the cards that came out are murder, which is also the Ten of Swords. So we're going with the Ten of Swords, meaning not the murder, because none of them were murdered. You could argue the point due to their health impacts later on in life. But Ten of Swords is a deep emotional wound. It is something that needs to be recovered from, that really takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to fully bounce back from. And then we have brokenhearted. So again, focusing on the emotional distress that this event brought to them. And the last card is the benevolent man. And I don't know what to do about that, unless there was some male figure who kind of advocated for them or like took up the cause. Was their lawyer a man, perchance?
Well, actually, they were. The lawsuit was sort of spearheaded by the primary UFO investigator.
Okay, was he a man?
Yes.
Okay.
Was it Seussler? Something like that. What was his? I'm terrible at
this. I was trying to double check.
Yeah, it's Schussler. Yeah, it's John Schussler.
It sounded right, but
yeah. And he actually wrote the book, The Cashlander UFO Incident. The year, and he released that the year that Betty passed away.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna just real quick ask to explain the staying card, which is the go deeper, direct your energy, and ritual work. Because I, unless the directing their energy was toward, was them literally deciding to go after the money, because at that point, what else did they have to do? But that card, I usually see it in a different light, so I just need a little bit of clarification there. And then I can, maybe I can, instead of asking the cards, I can ask her directly if she thought it was a UFO.
Yeah. Because I should say, Vicky was a born-again Christian, and her initial reaction was like, this is Jesus coming down from the heavens.
Okay.
And, yeah, that was her initial reaction to it.
Okay. So there may be some level of that happening here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
She did get scared about halfway through, because her initial reaction was like, don't worry, it's Jesus. It won't hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
But about halfway through the incident, she was like begging Betty to get back in the car and we got to get out of
no
here.
No longer felt like Jesus. Okay.
Stuff. Yeah.
No longer
yeah.
felt like Jesus. So the going deeper cards were the witch's bottle, which is, I usually think of as that can be a method of protection, but I also tend to think of it on my own as a feeling of like entrapment almost. Or like contained energy or stuck energy, like something that you don't know what to do with. And then the teapot, which is, again, spilling of the tea, and the grave. And I want to say that whoever this is talking about the implications of whatever happened leading to long-term health consequences that eventually led to her death. Since they're both female, I don't have a strong indicator one way or the other which one of them it was at this point. But yeah, so I would say that, okay, so the direct your energy, the feeling was, their thoughts and their feelings were bottled up, and they decided to literally spill the tea due to their health implications and also to give them some sense of peace about what happened to them. That is my final answer. That took me a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. It's, yeah. This is the second episode in a row where you felt like you were interacting directly with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's because cool. I think it probably would happen sooner, but normally we record at nighttime, but I asked you guys to record during the day while I'm on my break, and I think I'm more awake and alert, so they're like, oh, we can actually talk to you now. So, yeah, we'll see. Okay. From that, where do you guys want to go from here? I still don't know if that's real or not real, or that was an actual UFO or not.
I guess my next question would be, are the health effects that they suffered after the fact a direct result of their interaction, or I guess them being in the vicinity of this
exposure.
Thing? Exposure. There we go. That's a better word for it.
Yeah.
Ooh, we have a long answer here. This is like pour yourself some sweet tea and light a cigarette kind of answer.
I'm into it. Sounds like a good afternoon.
It does sound like
sitting
a good
on
afternoon.
A front porch.
Yep, yeah, screened in front porch in a wooden rocking chair.
I was going to say on a rocker. Yeah.
Sounds mm-hmm. nice.
It does sound really mm-hmm. nice. There's a slight breeze, maybe like it just rain, and it's like that nice smell with the sun starting to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so these cards, we have the bear, and in this case, this is independence and regeneration. So, like, a period of solitude, if you think about hibernation in an abstract term, it's kind of like withdrawing to focus on healing yourself. So, was this a result of their exposure, right? So, we have the withdrawing specifically for healing. The wishbone, which normally I think of as a wish granted, but like, you know, like the old Thanksgiving, you get a turkey and you break the wishbone and whoever gets the bigger piece gets their wish. I don't think that that's it in this case, but I honestly don't know what she's referring to. It feels like a literal bone to me, but I don't understand what that means.
Well, I could say, I could tell you Betty Cash was a huge paranormal enthusiast.
Okay.
So, me, the enthusiasts I know, I could definitely see encountering a UFO
as a wish granted. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then we have the sacred stone. And typically, I think of that as like ancient earth-based magic, but in this case, it just seems to be referring to some sort of power that be, like something bigger than them. Then we have the executioner. So it does seem like that is a marked moment for them, because the executioner is, it's exactly what it thinks it is, what you think it is. It's like, it's not the greatest of cards. So we have regeneration. What was happening in their lives before? Do either one of you know if something was going on? Was this like a trip, or was this just right around their houses?
No, it was, they went out for, it was sort of like a special dinner.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
They drove quite a ways from, like, they, to go to a special spot that, you know, for dinner together. Okay,
perfect. So I think that's what the bear card is. Wish granted. Powers that be, executioner, that was the moment that changed it all. That's when the axe fell, so to speak. Then we have door, which is a transition. It's also ironically yet another card that indicates a spirit coming to visit. So hi, hello, she's in the house. Then we have globe, which is interesting because I usually think of the globe as a journey or travel. And the nest, which is to protect something, or it can also mean a safe, comfortable home. But it almost feels like the axe fell and like their worlds changed. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes to their health.
Okay.
Being exposed to this. It was it's a very wordy Southern answer, I feel like, but... Yeah, I think yes.
I mean, I have to assume that for these women, there was life before this event, and then there was life after this event.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it really was life-altering.
Well, it's kind of like what I say about trauma, that, I mean, I know that, well, yeah, this probably was traumatic for them, too, but, like, you're not the same person after that. You were literally changed. On, like, scientifically, you are changed on a cellular level. You are not the same person that you were before the traumatic event. So,
yeah. And you pulling the wishbone and then the executioner, for me, screams, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. It really does.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I could definitely, which I've said to you, Ryan, like 100 times when you're like, I want to be abducted by aliens.
Like, I mean,
be careful, man.
You know, it goes back and forth. Like I said, as long as it's a pleasant experience, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if there's like ill intent or anything else, I don't want it.
Yeah.
It's like someone aliens. Who really wants to go skydiving. They're not like, you know, like, I hope the parachute doesn't go off. They're hoping for a pleasant experience.
That's not for me.
Right. You know. If I'm, like, opening myself up to the possibility, like, I want them to, you know, welcome me with open arms and be like, okay, bud, you know, here, this is how we live. This is our planet. Welcome to Lanilos.
Of course it's Lanilos.
Why wouldn't it be? We all walk around naked.
Yeah. Woody Derenberger, one of the weirdest... One of the absolute weirdest descriptions of an alien land I've ever heard. A very 1950s description, also.
But also futuristic as well. Enough.
Yeah. I mean, like, socially 1950s. Yeah, for sure. It's very, very, like, patriarchal. Divorce isn't allowed.
type There's shit. No crime. Because everybody just knows better.
Yeah.
Where do you guys want to go from here?
Honestly, I think I just have like one more question to wrap this up. I'm really just curious about getting a little more details about the idea of a cover-up.
Okay.
Right? Of like whether... Because I'm pretty convinced. I think we're all pretty convinced that there was some kind of cover-up that went on. But... And it sort of goes back to the question from before, but like I want to know if what they were covering up was something extraterrestrial, or if they were covering up some kind of classified government project. And maybe it's both.
It might be both. You know? It might be a mix of both. Let's see.
I bet it's a mix of both.
Because the fucking helicopters were there. You know what I mean? Like whatever they encountered, the government knew it was there.
Unless this thing had been there for a while, somebody boots on the ground, like calls it in.
Okay. Interesting answer. I'm gonna say both. And here's why. So the first card is the pillar, which is really interesting because the pillar is literally to lift someone up or to elevate them above their station. And I think that I don't think that this is them looking for a leg up. I think this is powers higher than them. I think that that's what this is referring to. In this moment, because then we have the rat's card, and the rat's card is a card of anxiety. So the people above them were doing their best to give them as much anxiety and fear as they could. Because the next card is the spinning wheel, and that is storytelling. That is weaving a story. So that heavily implies cover up, as we already knew. But then we have the perfume card. And that is interesting because the perfume card can be attraction or like think of like a snake with like seductive words type thing. Like, but the other thing about the perfume card is that it is a yes card to me. And that's the card that came out when Jordan was saying if it could potentially be both of them. So I am leaning towards possibly something more UFO related. Good. And they tried very, very, very hard to scare them, and when that didn't work, to kind of sweet talk them into going along with whatever they were saying. Because right after the perfume, we have the teapot, which is again spilling the tea, telling the secrets, the trunk, secrets, and starting a new life. The salt, which is protection and cleansing. And then the nest, which again is to protect something and to have a comfortable home. So they did what they did because they believed that it was the only course they had available to them to protect themselves from the lies and the cover-ups that they were experiencing. So that actually was a very brave choice of them to be like, fuck y'all, no.
Yeah. I mean, here's a thought, which is... Like, the sort of black budgets that surround, especially in the 80s, that surround these kind of projects, they could have easily done, like, a behind-the-scenes, like, backroom deal with them. Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna let this case come to nothing in the public, but here's, like, this is what we're gonna give you off the record. Right. You know what I mean? Like, to let this go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what came to mind when you were talking about, like, how they switched from intimidation to sweet talk.
Don't you want your life to be comfortable and easy? Yeah. We could make all of your problems disappear. We have unlimited resources at our fingertips.
Just be quiet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This is serving... Mulder going against the government every single fucking time. Right. And being like, fuck y'all. Yeah. I'll do what I'm going to be the whistleblower.
And yet still cashing those FBI and paychecks every month. And
cashing that, you know, he probably had a sweet retirement situation going.
Almost certainly. I mean, when I was thinking of it being both, I was thinking, you know, the classic sort of, maybe this was like reverse engineered alien technology, yeah, something like that, where it technically is a classified government craft, but it's still related to the UFO phenomenon in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
Maybe this is just show and tell.
I feel like the whole time
the aliens are bringing this down, yeah, and they're like, come check it out. This could be yours for a hefty... Right.
This is the new craft we're working right on. Yeah, it's just so weird that it's like surrounded right, by helicopters. Yeah.
That's what makes me kind of question it. But
yeah, I'm honestly, with this case, I lean toward the fact that this was some classified government technology. Like I've always leaned that way.
You don't think it could still be alien tech that,
I mean, it certainly could, but I think by the time they encountered it, I think that it was,
okay,
it was firmly in the hands of the U.S. government.
I think I would agree with that, but because it didn't, just based on the cards and the heavy amount of government involvement and cover up, I do think that it, yeah, probably had some alien origins. But like you were saying, if it was in the hands of the U.S. government, they would be more motivated to get her to be quiet.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, you're crazy. We don't, because, I mean, how many times do you hear that when people tell their UFO stories and are immediately dismissed as being crazy? But if this was some sort of alien tech that the government had, they would be much more likely to try the tactics that they used on these women.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Because it's not like there was some like press. It's not like they used the press to discredit them or anything. They really just like took them on head on in the court case, and they had it dismissed for lack of evidence. Mm-hmm. Like there was no campaign to discredit them. There was no, because that's what usually happens.
Yeah,
is they'll make sure that they're embraced by the journalists that are written off immediately for like, well, you know, the National Enquirer is covering this, so it must be bullshit. So they make sure that cases like that show up in the National Enquirer, and then they have quote-unquote legitimate journalists writing against, mm-hmm, it, right? So you have these, like, these big campaigns to discredit people.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't any of that with this. It was, they just took them on in court and disproved it. So that, to me, suggests that it was something more military going on. I don't know, because if it was some reverse engineered alien tech, I think, because they didn't walk in on a battle between the helicopters and the craft, you know what I mean? Like, they were moving in formation together, they flew away into the horizon together. Like, to me, it seems like something that the military had control of.
Fair.
No, I would agree with that. Again, this is my lack of knowledge of like a ton of UFO cases. I'm just excitable, and I think it's cool as shit more than I know actual UFO stuff.
Sure.
The lowness to the ground seemed unusual to me. Is that a normal thing that typically happens in UFO cases? Because that was pretty low.
I mean,
low.
They tend to hover a lot.
Like pretty that low down?
The ground, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, usually it's part of the story and then the craft lands,
mm-hmm,
at some point. This one doesn't. The sort of like fire, the propulsion keeping it hovering is definitely unique. That's not something you hear about a lot in UFO cases. That makes it feel more human to me. 'Cause if it was a normal alien case, it would just be sort of hovering there silently. It also had, like, there was a beeping sound, mm-hmm, that they described from it, which most UFOs are reportedly
silent
or there's a hum, or there's a hum that's more felt than, mm-hmm, heard, right? So it feels like a weird human creation.
Yeah.
To me.
I mean, that's fair. Like I said, I could go both ways with it for sure.
Yeah. They could have been working on some weird, like, hovercraft type thing, you know? And yeah. And that they could have been exposed to some, you know, aerosolized chemical or something that was coming out of this 1980s attempt at a hovercraft. You know?
Right.
I don't know. And the cards never really gave us a straight answer about whether it was alien or not.
Well, but what we asked is if this was a UFO. So I can actually ask that right now, because if you think that it was originally alien tech that the government had their hands on, I can get a more clear answer for that, because it's the answer. I think if anything else, it would be that. Yeah, the spirit of whoever was answering, but. For the cards themselves, it's not one or the other. So how are they going to answer? Because if it was a combination of the two of them,
right?
It either makes no sense if the answer is wrong, or in this case, they were like, "Here, talk to this ghost." So let me that can be our final answer, real quick. If this was originally alien tech that the government got their hands on. I've never felt like Fox Mulder more in my entire life, and I am thriving.
Congratulations.
This is what... Ooh, I think yes. Yes. Yes.
Told you.
Yes. Yes. All of these cards are yeses. There's literally five yes cards here, so that's...
That's awesome.
Yes. Originally, alien tech that the government got their hands on. I'm thrilled.
I'm into that.
Me too.
I'm always up for a straight
now,
answer.
Now, is there was there currently an alien on board the craft?
I can ask that. At the time of this incident, was there an alien aboard the craft?
Yes. Yes. No.
So the cards are the door knocker, which is usually an indication that a spirit, or in this case, an otherworldly being, is making an entrance. The obelisk, which is a meeting place between heaven and earth. So both of those feel like yeses to me. But the one that confused me is the watch, which is, again, waiting or a specific period of time. I'm not exactly sure. I would say yes, based on the first two, but I don't know what to make about the watch. So yes, with a question mark at the end.
Since this is an audio medium, I have to describe to the listeners. As soon as that third card hit the table, Carly turned into the slanty face indifferent emoji.
What? It's a shame that people don't get to watch the facial expressions that come across on the screen. But if we were recording this video-wise, I would be very conscious about what my face is doing. So you guys get the real authentic deal of all of my facial expressions and confusion. And not my, "I'm being recorded. I have a nice face." Yeah. That was a really interesting answer. The watch is really, that's going to stick in my brain and be like, what did you mean by that? That might also mean that it was only like a limited time frame.
Maybe it was there to teach them how to use it. So,
yeah, maybe if we're going like on movie scenarios, maybe they like captured this alien and they were like, "Sup, you motherfucker, show me how this works." And then it either died or they killed it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I've watched a lot of movies. That part is pure speculation. There was no cards involved.
I'm into it.
Awesome.
Well, I think we got about as specific as we could.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
I was going to next ask if the alien's name was Klaxar.
Klaxar.
Since we were getting super specific here. No, thank you. This was awesome.
Yeah. This was fun.
I
like aliens. Don't abduct me. I don't want to be abducted. There's way too many needles involved from all the stories that I've heard, and I'm a needle phobic.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Agreed. Back away, aliens.
Same here. Oh, man. Well, I think we can pretty much wrap there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We good?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, that concludes Camp Divination, the Cash Landrum incident.
See y'all next time.